There is, towards the end of the pasta, a very unclear event. Now, we'll look at the pasuk in reference to that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just responded to, there's a request from Klal Yisrael to eat meat. And Moshe Rabbeinu says in a very unusual fashion, he says, look, how is it possible to get meat? I'm going to give them meat. How am I supposed to get meat for 600,000 Jews? Says Moshe Rabbeinu. For whole. Okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, you can. You can. How you going to do it? You know what? Let's set up the Sanhedrin. Yosef Shimon Ishev Zikne Yitcha'am. We're going to set up the Sanhedrin who are going to help you achieve this task. Now, if you would ask me if you need to distribute meat in this fashion, then you would think the ideal institution that would be organizing this, and you need to be successful with the Sanhedrin. I would think you go to this commercial stalker type of institution. Why on earth is the Sanhedrin necessary for the meat distribution process that Moshe Rabbeinu has to get involved in? Okay, that's the question number one. Then it happens that the setting up and the Sanhedrin took place, and another unusual thing happens as the pasuk, as it continues, you'll see the Malmachim number one says the pasuk Yisharu Shnei Anoshim B'Machaneh. After the selection process, there was two people who were left in the camp who didn't get selected. Sheva Echad, one of them is called Eldot. V'Sheva Sheni Meitot. Eldot and Meitot, they failed the procession and they didn't get appointed. But what happened? Tanach Alem Ruch. But then spiritual knowledge came upon them. And they stayed though in the camp, inside the camp, and they were giving nevuah. Well, they didn't get appointed, but they got nevuah. And then suddenly, news spread around. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that these two guys are giving nevuah, and he still was very upset. Let's get rid of them in some sort of fashion. And Moshe Rabbeinu responded, what? You get rid of these people were zogah, they're great people. They were zogah to Nebuah. Nothing to do with me. Hashem just gave me Nebuah. How can you get rid of them? They're great people. Now, it's a bit strange. Why was Yeshua upset, firstly, about the Nebuah? And secondly, if there were such great people, why did they not get selected for the Sanhedrin? Why did they fail the selection process? If they're not so great, then how could they get in the book? They must be great, so why didn't they get on the Sanhedrin? So in fact, this question is tackled by the Medrash. The Medrash and the Gemara Shabbos explains there's a whole story behind this, Eldot and Meitot. And the story goes like this. The Medrash says, well, Hashem said, you have to pull out 70 Sanhedrin people. So Moshe Ben said, what am I going to do? And it's going to be a terrible machlokes. If I get 5 from each shevet, 5 times 12 is 60. I haven't got enough. If I get 6 from each shevet, I've got 72. I've got too much. I need 70. So I'm going to have 6 on every shevet, except for 2 spots, and we're going to have 5. There's going to be big machlokes. What am I going to do? So what did Eldot and Meitot say? Eldot and Meitot says the Medrash in bold, Hayosham, Umiyot and Atzon, they decided to withdraw themselves from the process. The process was going to be, we're going to put everything in a hat. We're going to make a selection process. I need one of you 72 guys. We'll take out a piece of paper. And if you come out the word Zokin, then you're on the Sanhedrin. If it comes out black, you failed. There's only 2 blacks. And Eldot and Meitot said, when they heard that was the process, they withdrew themselves from the competition. We are not as qualified as everybody else around here. We're out of it. Why should we have a process which causes machlokas, especially when we're not qualified as these? These are much better. That's the reaction of Eldad and Medad. Not that they didn't get selected, they deselected themselves. Memela, they got rewards. They got rewards that Hashem gave them the Vua, unlike anybody else. The only one who got the Vua like them in that fashion was Moshe Rabbeinu. They got the same type of Nevuah. And what did they, say? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Nevuah that they said, number two, it says they made Nevuah on three things. They said, you know what? Moshe Mate is going to die. Yeshua Machnis is Etzah. Yeshua is going to bring them into Etzah. Second thing, they also gave a nevuah. You know what? The meat is going to come. The meat will come. The shlav is going to come. Thousands of shlav. Okay. Another one says they also made a nevuah. They made a nevuah that there's going to be a terrible fight at the end of time between Kaisa and Gog and Magog. But eventually Kaisa will win that fight. Now, three different types of nevuahs took place. But what's really the connection between each of these nevuahs? And to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu dying and Yeshua taking over 38 years before it happens, why are you doing such a nevuah at this stage? What prompted such a nevuah that was necessary? Now, to answer these questions, there's another event that happened straight after the Nevuah. The Medrash Tanchuma, which is number three, says that Sipporah, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, heard the Nevuah that those two people giving the Nevuah called Eldad and Medad. And Sipporah's reaction is, Shama Sipporah, I pity their wives. Because once they got Nevuah, and Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu, then they're going to do to their wives like Moshe Rabbeinu did to his wife. They're going to get rid of her. Poor wife. And Miriam was standing there. And Miriam heard that. And that dropped it at the end of the parsha for her to say, Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is he separating himself from his wife? And the message sounds like she didn't know that until now. But it's pretty obvious that event existed. So it wasn't a secret that Moshe Rabbeinu had separated himself from Tzipora. And many Chazals that implied that before that. It was a known fact. So Miriam already knew this fact. What prompted her to suddenly say Lashon Hara about them? It's not like, now she realized, now she's saying Lashon Hara. Hey, he's not married, you shouldn't do that. She already knows, he's a lobby, he's separated from his wife. Why suddenly, because of what Sipporah said, which is nothing new, did she say, I have to do something about it? What made her actually take action in the form of Lashon Hara at this stage? It wasn't a new fact. We have covered many questions. Let's go now on a search for answers. Look, as we normally do, let's tackle a bit of halacha from the parsha, which will bring out the answers in a beautiful fashion. Now, if you go to number four, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Kol ha'mekayim shlosh sudos b'Shabbos. Anyone who eats three meals on Shabbos, Nitzlu Mishalish Romans will be saved from three terrible events. Mechevde Mashiach, from the time, terrible times, to the end of days before Mashiach, where we will be terrible sorrows. Medina Shagahedem, from after death, when one automatically goes into Gehenna, whatever life one fulfills, you go get into in some sort of fashion, you'll be saved from that. And Milchomas Gogamogam, and you'll be saved from the war of all wars, Gogamogam. Says Chazal, that which Sutta saves you from Gogamogam? It's the Sutta Shishit. The third Sudha saves you from Gog Umogog. Now why does Sudha Slishis save you from Gog Umogog? Why does it save you? So, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch in base, the back of Makom, I'll tell you what it says. It says something special about Sudha Slishis rather than the other two meals in Halach. The other two meals of Shabbos, you have to eat bread. So the Shlishis is a big machlokas. You need to eat bread, you can get away with the donuts, you can eat meat, or you can get fruit, or maybe you can say even Divrei Torah. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, we're marking you to eat bread. But there's a discussion about it. But the other two meals, there's no discussion. Why is that special? Why is the Shlishis something that up for grabs that maybe you don't eat bread? There's an Nafkim in Halacha. Between the fat halachic machlokas, by Sudashis makes the nafkin in halacha. Because we know, if you forget on Rosh Chodesh, Yalim Yovo, in your benching, you don't need to say benching again. Because you don't need to eat bread on Rosh Chodesh. So you don't need to do benching again. But, if you forget, let's say, on Shabbos, in benching, in the first two meals, you need to eat bread on the first two meals of Shabbos. So therefore you have to say benching again if you forget to say. The third meal, so this mission, since it's a machlokas when you need to eat bread or not, if you forget to say in Sudas Lishas, you do not say benching again. Oh. Now there's a famous question is what's the halacha in such a case? The Stipler talks about this question, yeah, as well. Somebody comes home from shul. He makes kiddush and has a beautiful mezonos cake. And then, one day later, he said his other mission. We're mentioning Shabbos as well. But, and then he eats his meal. His main meal. Lunch. And his main meal, he benches, but if he gets the favorite say. Now we said, if the first two meals you don't make the say, you have to do it again. So the fire at lunchtime is the second meal, and therefore, he forgets to say anything again. But no, they are. Maybe the lunchtime is the third meal. Maybe not. Maybe the mezonos was the second meal. Which is the meal? The mezonos is the second meal. Maybe lunch is the third meal. And even if you say, let's say lunch was the second meal, but, okay, I didn't say we're saying the second meal, but I did say, let's say, so to speak, in the third meal, called my mezonos, which maybe counts as my superstitions. As we said, you could be your superstitions with mezonos. So let's say, when I made kiddush, that was my Sudas Lishas. And then I'm going to make Sudas Lishas over there, and then the second meal, fine. So that's the Balagan. The Balagan is that, can you have Sudas Lishas before the second meal? Can you have Sudas Lishas before the second meal? Now, after a minute, it's on each island. Yeah.
Does
the shishis have to be number three, or doesn't have to be number three? Yeah. Not giving that. As long as I've got two meals out there with, let's say, the seder, one meal not. Okay, doesn't matter if the one meal not is the last meal, or one meal not is the first or second. As long as I've got two out of my three meals with, let's say, and one not, I'm still yotzer, because the one which is not, I'm calling it Sudas Lishas, wherever it's positioned. First, second, or third. That's the sign that can you have Sudas Lishas before the other meals? And therefore, as long as you've done two meals with Ritzay, you're okay. Doesn't matter which one. That's the Shaila. So now, let us see a beautiful Kaf Lachaim. The Kaf Lachaim says, what's special about Seudah Shlishit? What is it? What's this mitzvah of Seudah Shlishit? The Kaf Lachaim says in Gimel, the following, Seudah Zeh Nikra Kovod Shabbos. Seudah Shlishit does something that other meals don't do. It brings Kovod Shabbos. How? Because it's something you don't do during the week. During the week, you only have two meals. But Seudah Shabbos, you have an extra meal, that proves that brings Kovod Shabbos. This is different from every other day, because it got free. The Seudah Mekodesh. V'hir the Lekaimim. And we're told we have to be careful to keep it. Because if you keep Seudah Shlishit, that will also give you schar on the first two meals. Ki ilu also the Kovod Shabbos says, if you also did the first two meals for Kovod Shabbos. Because how do you know the first two meals for Kovod Shabbos? Maybe you're just eating because I always eat two meals. I can prove the first two meals is Kovod Shabbos by eating a third meal, which is definitely Kovod Shabbos. That makes the first two also Kovod Shabbos. If you only eat two, then it's the same as week. But once you eat three, all meals now come uplifted. Through Seudah Shlishit, makes all the meals Kovod Shabbos. Based on that, Kaf Lachaim, Rav Vosner says the following thing. The first two meals are regular meals which you have during the week. We don't see Kovod Shabbos yet. Seudah Shlishit was instituted and to uplift and prove that the first two meals were Kovod Shabbos. How do that? Indeed, there's even opinions that you can be yotza with Seudah Shlishit with Mazonos. Because as long as you have another event, doesn't matter, have to be a friend, another event, eating Mazonos now, which I would never do during the week, that uplifts all the meals that now proves that the whole eating experience on Shabbos was not for my stomach, but it was there for Kovod Shabbos. Says Rav Vosner, that Seudah Shlishit can only take effect once you've had two proper meals. Two proper meals, then the Seudah Shlishit, number three, and only number three can be Seudah Shlishit. Because only Seudah Shlishit is minus Seudah Shlishit, it's number three. You can't have number three when it's number two and number one. Seudah Shlishit can only be number three. And remember that you can't eat Seudah Shlishit early. You can't eat Seudah Shlishit. You can't use your mazonos of kiddush as your Seudah Shlishit. It doesn't work, says Rav Vosner. That's the stuff. Now, let's see another reasoning for Seudah Shlishit being special. From the Sefer Avodah Zarah. What does the Sefer Avodah Zarah say? Look at number H. He says, what makes Seudah Shlishit special? When a person realizes he's not going to eat three meals, a person will control his appetite to make sure that he has enough room to eat each meal in the fashion where he can eat it and face the meal and not say, oh no, not another meal. He will limit his eating on the first two meals because he knows he's got a third one to do. Mitzvah, that means, calls to the Seudah Mitzvah. It means that every meal was done the Seudah Mitzvah because every meal was control. Control the eating. And that leads you to be not overly involved in the food, and not overly wasted over, and you're therefore you can have got now ponoi lasik the dibetor. You can be now not be oversatiated. You can now actually learn Torah properly. Mitzvah. So it turns out the mitzvah of Shalosh Seudahs is kovash yetzer, controls your yetzer. The mitzvah that there is free meals controls your yetzer, and you won't overdo it. That rings Valkidah Kovid Shabbos, because it means that eating was all done the same Shemayim. All same Shemayim. Now, according to this logic, Lav Dafka does two decisions need to be number, the last one. You can just say you got 3 meals. Every meal now is like, could be two decisions, because the hope that God means I've got 3 meals to eat. I have to control my eating. 3 meals, I have to control my eating. Each meal has the same mind as each other. Any meal could be two decisions. So therefore, the revolting start is not a helpless for me. This, Avidaram's Peshat in the mind of superstitions. So that, the last words in Halakha we can discuss today, is the Shogun Zalman Obach says, yeah, even without revolting, even if you say that any meal could be superstitions, still you're not yotzer with your mezonos that you had before the meal for your kiddush as superstitions. Why? Because when somebody makes kiddush, his kavona is just to make kiddush in order to eat mezonos and not to use it as a sudah. You can't be yoked a sudah unless you have kavona to use it as a sudah. And no one when they make kiddush has kavona to use it as a sudah. And therefore, even if sudah shishas can be any one of those, but you didn't have kavona to sudah, and therefore you're not can be used in that fashion. So therefore, I mean, we've got the Kaf Lachayim that Shuddah Shishas has to be number 3, because the 3 makes it special for the weekday, or Shuddah Shishas can be the only one, because you have control to shame Shemaim eating, but still you're not yoked with the Kiddush you made on your cake, because you don't have Kavona for Shuddah Shishas to come over. Okay, that's the end of the Halachic element of our shit. No questions on Halachic. After shift, right. Now, there's a lot of coverage, and we want to cover everything. Now, so we see, the purpose of Shuddah Shishas is to bring Kovid Shabbos, and Shuddah Shishas, when it brings Kovid Shabbos, has the mile, the benefit of saving us from the war of Gog and Magog. Okay? How does it work? Why does Kovid Shabbos, in the fashions that we described up to now, bring us savior from Gog and Magog? Let us try and find a reasoning. So again, so number 5 on your seats, there's a pasuk, few pasukim in our parsha, which needs an analysis of what it means. We know it says before Shishas, it says that they traveled away from Har Sinai on the journey towards Eretz Israel. Then suddenly, after describing that event, we have a song that we sing on Shabbos every week. In some shuls, they actually sing it. Vayhi bin Tzadon, Vayomer Moshe. Okay, suddenly in the middle of nowhere, we have these pesukim. Then afterwards it says, and the people complained about traveling so far, 3 days worth in one day. They were really angry about Hashem. And then it says they complained that we got this disgusting food called mon. I'm sick of it. I need meat. Okay. So what's going on in the sequence of events? So the Gemara in Shabbos says over there, why did they put this song of Hib and Sarah and Moshe, which is not relevant to anything that's going on, in the middle of here? Why did they do that? So says the Gemara, today the Hasnik made Peronis the Peronis. In order to make a gap, a separation between two bad events, two complaints, two events which are complaining. Now which two events did it make a gap in between? So Rashi, in the small writing over there, says, it made the, you know what, it says in the Gemara, it says, well, all the two events, you know, here are misunderstanding. When the people were complaining about having to travel fast, is the second event. Okay, that's the second event. Traveling too fast was the second event. What's the first complaint? Prose to Shona, the first event was the fact they traveled away from Har Sinai. That's a bad event as well. Bad event number one is traveling away from Har Sinai. Bad event number two, complaining about traveling too fast. That's how the Rambam does. Says Rashi, no, you know what the two events are?
You know what the two events were, says Rashi? The two events were the complaining about travelling too fast and eating the meat. And which one was first? Eating the meat was first, and the second event was travelling too fast. Says Rambam, I don't know what you're talking about. Firstly, the first event was travelling too fast. Second event, you look at the Pesukim, was about the meat. Not the other way around, Rashi. Secondly, if you tried to split those two up, you didn't split it, because you put the song before both events. It's not in between the events of complaint about travelling and the food. You put it before both events. If you try to split those two up, that's not what you did, Elamai. You're not that doctor's son. But what's the answer to Rashi? Rashi, he knows what he's saying. He knows that, in his mind, the two events of travelling to Boss and eating meat, and those are the two events, and we're splitting them up. You got the wrong order, and you didn't put it the song in the right place. So how are you going to answer that? So there's a beautiful Peshat we're going to see inside of the Pachad Yitzchak. Let's see what the Pachad Yitzchak has to say for us in Peshat and answering Rashi. And we have to be right away to see this and engage in it. So it says the Pachad Yitzchak in the following fashion. Number 6. You know what? He says, it says in that song that we sing, he says, V'yachutsu avecho and yonusu mesonecho. Yeah, we've got two people that we want to get away from. Our enemies and those who hate us. That's part of the song. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that we sing a song of tefillah to be protected from two enemies. One is called Ovecha, and one is called Sonecha. Hated enemies and hated ones. Now who are these people? The enemies and the hated ones. So look at what the Pachad Yitzchak says. Very nogea to where we're living now. So Sub Shal Kibbutz Anoshim. There's a group which we know about that's called the Erev Rav. Now, that was their name until we came to the complaint of the meat. Then suddenly, the name of the Erev Rav changed. And the Heim Koruim, and they called a different name in the Torah, Asafsuf. They're called Asafsuf, the gathered ones. Make up your name. Why suddenly change your name? Erev Rav was a good name up to now. Some of you call them the gathered ones. Why are they called the gathered ones just at the complaint of the meat? Nirulano Pirish Shoshin. I'm going to tell you the reason why they got a name change. Whenever Kaiser encamped and stayed still, then the Erev Rav would actually start mingling with everybody. Walk around, smooth with everybody in the whole of Kaiser. Mikol Bokum, Lohoy is there, Elbashasan is up. But that was only at the time when they were in camps. Abu Mahalapatas, but as when they were walking in the midbar, when they're moving, Vishasha started on them, his commissar, when the cloud started to go. Hoy Erevav, the Erevav had to get out of all the encampments and have to be at the back. In a separate capacity, nothing to do with the golem. Minamat Mahochim is Adras, they had to be in their own group. They wouldn't mingle. When they're walking, they wouldn't mingle. They would only mingle when they were in camp. So now we can understand the following. The Erev is a Soros for Kaiser. The Rishapolim, but they call Soros the Kaiser in two fashions. You sure with us? Yeah? Two fashions the Soros can call, the Erev Rav can call us. Hitila Katota Ben Yisrael Avim Shav Yisrael, and they do it on purpose to break us Kaisor off from Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kishir Nitzah B'Tokha Machna, when they mix and match us, how do they call Soros? Hitila Katota Ben Yisrael Avim Shav Yisrael. They make us do things which is against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They influence us, mix to us, entice us, go against Hashem. Hashem the staff and Levim were good, and when they're not mixed with us, they actually go and join up our boyish enemies outside. And Hashem wrote to himself to encourage our enemies to
to chase after these religious guys, get rid of them. So they join our enemies. When they're out of us, but when they're within us, they try into us to do evil against Kadosh Baruch Hu.
So therefore, Tam Kibir Shapashu. So now I can explain the reasoning for where the positioning of the song, which is a tefillah against the Erev Rav's impulses, is Kadela Hafsik Ben Pronus.
Between two bad events. What two bad events?
Shteya Nimas and Torah.
Both events were caused by the Erev Rav.
The Erev Rav causes these two sorrows. But it's paid robbers, but there's two types of sorrows which they cause. Achas is Shas Nisir. One sorrow is when we're in movement and they are encouraging the Goyim to attack the religious Jews. Bashnia, Shas Nisir. The second sorrow that Erev Rav does is when they're mocked us to encourage us to rebel against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, we have this song, soft stumble song. It's a song to fill up against the Erev Rav.
Save us from our enemies, save us from our hated ones. When are their enemies? When they're encamping amongst us and they're trying to make us rebel against Hashem, they're our enemies. When are their hated ones? When they're outside us and then trying to encourage the Goyim, the hate ones who hate us, to actually attack the Jewish religion.
And therefore, the parsha of the Hebrew Torah was pointed here, in this fashion. And that's Pishas and Rashi. Rashi is saying, the moving away from Har Sinai was an event where the Erev Rav were trying to cause problems with us, with the Goyim.
Whenever we're moving, they're with the Goyim, so they cause us sorrows. That's our first sorrows with the Erev Rav. Second sorrows with the Erev Rav is when they're trying to be with us and rebel against Hashem. Therefore, that's the Hebrew Sorom. The Sorom is coming to separate the sorrows of moving and the sorrows of encampment. The sorrows when we move, and the sorrows in the encampment. That's the Jatanati. He didn't mean between the sorrows of complaints of the traveling or complaints of the food. He wanted to say the sorrows of the Erev Rav, which starts when we move and continues when we encamp in two fashions.
That's the Jat. Okay? That's after Philip.
Now, did you notice that what did the Erev Rav complain about? They complain about this terrible mon. We get rid of them. We need meat. Get rid of this mon. That was the Erev. The Shutsus. They're called the Erev. They're the ones who complained about the meat.
The mon.
Now, mon, in parameters, number 7, I'm not going to read it inside. Mon is the source that we know we have a mitzvah of Shudashishis. Because by mon, it says the word Hayom 3 times. And then that we learn, Suda switches out from the mon. So you know what? The Erev Rav, what did they attack against the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Suda switches. That's what they wanted to attack. When you attack Suda switches, and they want meat, and they want us to eat meat and not mon, what is that? What does that mean to us? And why did Moshe Rabbeinu need the Sanhedrin to stop such an attack? So now we understand the spiritual battles going on. We don't want mon! We don't want Kavod Shabbos. We want meat! And that's for some reason not Kavod Shabbos. Okay, it's a spiritual battle. It's not just good enough Kuvash or Stoker. I need the Sanhedrin. But now we have to know what's behind the spiritual battle and what's the Sanhedrin going to do to help us win this battle. Let us analyze the speciality of the Sanhedrin. What can they do for us? Now look at number 8. Number 8. That when Yitzchak Avinu was giving brachas to Yaakov, he gave them the bracha. He gave him the bracha, and this is the bracha he said to Yaakov. You remember when Yaakov Avinu got the brachas instead of Esau? He said this bracha. Kel Shakai, Yivorek Yisukot. She gives you a bracha. Yivrecha, obviously you have lots of children, but you see the Kala Amim, and you'll be a great nation. Said the Targum Unculus, he's giving Yaakov Avinu, who's receiving Rabbi Yitzchak Avinu, that he'll be Zocha to have the Sanhedrin.
That's the Zocha of Yitzchak for Yaakov.
You'll be Zocha to the 70 members of the Sanhedrin. That's the Sanhedrin goes in small print over there. Now, the Ramban says, what's special about the number 70? Why do we need 70 in the Sanhedrin? Hamizbah Hazeh, we call it Kola Bez, Kola Kola Kochus. This number includes all types of characters in the world and all types of Kochus and abilities in the world. We want in the Sanhedrin to encompass every type of character in the world, and every power of Koach and speciality in the world should be in the Sanhedrin. And that is the brocha that Yaakov Avinu is receiving in Yitzchak, to have such a thing that you have something in Yitzchak that encompasses everything. Okay. Do you know how many nations there are in the world? 70. 70 nations. That's the maximum different characters out there, and the Sanhedrin is connected. Now, let us see now a wonderful Meshul Chochma explaining why Moshe Rabbeinu says, I need the Sanhedrin for the meat distribution. Let's see the Meshul Chochma number 9 inside. He says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to have the Sanhedrin and also the meat distribution. Yes. Meshul Chochma says like this. Hamon, the Mon, which they're attacking, is the Zuchus Moshe. We know the Mon came down with the Zuchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mon is suffering, is like Malki Shor is open. It's the food even the Malachim eat. That comes with Moshe Rabbeinu. In a B'chol Atzmeichem Yeshkoch Achiyoni V'atzomech. Everything that we eat, of the vegetation that we eat, has the power of life. Avkoach HaMasaveh Abraham Labad Bachai. But the koach of getting tithers, that can only come if you consume meat. Meat gives a person tithers. Okay, Amma Oritz Osa Leopold Bosa. And Amma Oritz is Osa to eat meat. Given to you, give a koach of tithers, because why eating meat to get tithers? Bainbo Torah, the topic of tithers, the only way to control your tither in the proper fashion is with Torah. Yet Bosi Yetzirah. But the Torah suffering. Torah is the only thing that can control Yitzhahara. And therefore, Amar Oretz doesn't love Torah. He better not eat, have fiber. Better not eat meat. Lachin, his suffer fiber. So therefore, when the Erev Rav complained, he said, hey, we want meat! They wanted fiber. They had fiber. He said, we have enough of Mon. We don't have any fiber. We want fiber. The Hoshu Shul, Shein Lahem Bost, the Oken Zomim, Shein Mekon Zomim, they thought, well, we're only eating Mon. So that's the reason why we don't have tithers. Let's have meat instead. Okay, what's the level of Bostachai? They wanted to eat meat. Change for Kocha tithers, like with tithers, because that brings tithers, and they wanted to improve that. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, Pirish Ma'isha. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife. So I bought him in Kocha tithers and Geshem, because he had no Kocha, he had no tithers for anything in this world of Gashmis. Okay, involved is Sibu Zaman, that's why the mom comes down in his Lechot, because he is the epitome of somebody who has no interest in Taifa. I don't eat Taifa. Give me Mon. Mon doesn't give me Taifa. I don't eat Taifa. Shemotan Shembo Kachem Taifa. Lezeru Omer. Me'en Le'Bosa. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said, saying to Hashem. He said, I can't bring meat. Meat is something that I have nothing to do with connection with. I have nothing to do with Taifa. Bosa in Yochel Le'Bosa. Bosa, the meat can't come in my Sukkos, because I have nothing to do with meat coming in my Sukkos. Lachin Omar Hashem is Fox, and Hashem said to him, he asked Ruach Hashem Shivan Zakan. Okay, let's point the Sanhedrin. Let's get the 70 Zakan of all the Kochas in this world in the Kochas of Tahara form. Meant to say, Chopin and Hanog Eliyah Yisrael. That way they can bring Hashbar of Tiber into Kaisar in a controlled Kedusha fashion. Okay, because they are still married to their wives. They have Kochas Tiber, but nevertheless, the lofty people with Kochas Tiber, they can bring the meat, not Moshe Rabbeinu. They have something to do with Tiber, but they can bring it in the kosher fashion. Let them and their Zuchos bring the meat in a fashion where it would be good for Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu could not bring down the meat. The Sanhedrin only could bring down meat. That's why the Sanhedrin was appointed. You want Tiber? That's what you want. You have to make it kosher. Only Sanhedrin can do that.
Let's appoint the Sanhedrin.
Now, we can now understand, therefore, the following amazing pshat of the Maharal. The Maharal says, why did Eldad and Medad have a nevuah about Gog and Magog? What's it got to do with what we're dealing with at the moment in time? Says the Maharal the following. Masha Manavos Hashan, number 10, Shivan Zakanin. They appointed the Zakanin, the Sanhedrin, 70 members. Dovah Zem Mer Yisrael, Shiyim Shal Gogol. That in its fashion shows that Klai Yisrael, you're going to overpower Gog and Magog when it happens. So I rose for the Ummah, Shem Shemuel, Gog and Magog are the leaders of all the 70 nations. Va'al Imo Yavah Kol Ummah Zem Mokom Yisrael, they're going to come with all the nations to fight against Klai Yisrael. If you have some hedging amongst you, the 70 Kedusha men who control the tithes in the Kedusha fashion, then you'll be matzliach against Gog and Magog. Shemoah is the king of Sheishem Yisrael to break into our, because these days the king shows that Klai Yisrael are dovik to Hashem. And that brings you to victory against Gog and Magog. And therefore, at the appointment of the Shivan Zakanin, of the Sanhedrin, that's when the Nevuah comes down. Because of them, you're going to be winning against Gog and Magog. That's Eldad and Medad Nevuah at that time in history. Now, it can also work out what Miriam's mistake is, and why does she make the mistake now and suddenly speak against Moshe Rabbeinu? She knew that he was separated from Spirit. What suddenly woke her up now? Who was Eldad and Medad? Who were they? Moshe's
stepbrothers. Says Eldad and Medad, Moshe. They were the brothers, not stepbrothers. They were half brothers. The Bali Tosis had the half brothers because at both at Har Sinai they were made also all the relatives. No one could marry their relatives. Amram separated from Yehoshua because he's his aunt. Can't marry your aunt. And Amram married, Moshe Rabbeinu's father, married somebody else. And from that second marriage of Amram, they had Eldad and Medad. So Medad and Medad were the brothers from the same father, the Amram, the god of Hadar. Now, Medad and Medad have the same yichus now, Moshe Rabbeinu. And then they get Nevuah. And the way they get Nevuah, as Medrash Rabba says, is they got Nevuah, no, not like anyone else. They got Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu, directly from Hashem. So here you see, Miriam is seeing this. Miriam says, we've got Eldad and Medad, the brothers of Moshe Rabbeinu, and also sons of Amram. And they're getting Nevuah in a fashion like Moshe Rabbeinu. And they're staying married to their wife. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu leave? I understood Moshe Rabbeinu left his wife because he's a different type of novi than anyone. I understood that now. But now I see somebody who's got the same type of Nevuah as Moshe Rabbeinu and he's still connected to his wife. That made her make a mistake of speaking at this time, Loshon Hara, about Moshe Rabbeinu. So, why was Miriam mistaken? Well, Medad was on a high level. Why? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu should not have been separated. And why? We still haven't answered. Why did they give the Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to go into Eretz Israel? That's in 38 years' time. Are you saying that now? So let's finish this off with a super duper Shane Mishmur who explains the completion of our ship. In the following fashion. Look at number 12. Mavor b'gemara and yuma. It's clear from the gemara and yuma. She asked that the oslovo yikonis Moshe Rabbeinu of the Shom to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu will enter Eretz Yisrael in the oslovo. Why did he not go up to now? And why later on? Minus Moshe Rabbeinu who gever matuch Eretz Yisrael. The reason why he didn't go up to now is because Moshe Rabbeinu is in a higher level than Eretz Yisrael. He can't go into Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael is beneath him. Okay, no minutes. Umman is done with offers, so why is he going to go in the future? If it's too beneath him, Eretz Yisrael, in level, why in the future is Moshe Rabbeinu going to go in?
Yes, Roman. I'm going to tell you why. Moshe Benu, Nisgaku for Kokak. Moshe Benu reached a level of purifying his body so much. Ashke Gufa Yosef Kodesh Misrofus of Asrofin Vanofin.
His body was so holy, more holy than any of the Malachim.
Sha'al Kain Hamon, Shabbos Chus Moshe Olech Mruchat.
That's why the Mon, which is the spiritual food which Malachim come down, came in his Chus.
Tam Kol Atamim. It has all the favors. No sinchais, it gives life. Afein Maskir, but doesn't fill you up. Hine. Bim Omzu Yisob in the Son.
If Klai Yisrael was stood up to the challenge,
and I go for Nisgach, and they would not want meat, then their bodies would also be purified.
And they would be purified. They would be uplifted by the Mon to be like the bodies of Moshe Rabbeinu as well. For he had born in Tignan Gomel. They come to such a stage that they'd be like Adam Rishon before the Chet. And Adam Rishon before the Chet, where did he live? In Gan Eden.
The Hefer.
If they reach the stage of being royal to live in Gan Eden, then Eretz Yisrael will become Gan Eden.
There won't be a Gashmi space anymore, Eretz Yisrael.
Eretz Yisrael will be Gan Eden, because that's where Klal Yisrael is going to be.
And then obviously Moshe Rabbeinu can also enter, because Moshe Rabbeinu needs to enter into Gan Eden.
Eretz Yisrael will become Gan Eden, because Klal Yisrael will become like Moshe Rabbeinu in the pure spiritual form. And they would enter Eretz Yisrael.
Abu Machashir, his Abel Machal Gaz,
but because they fell to the challenge of the Erev Rav, and they wanted meat, but only to go from, they didn't uplift their bodies.
Okay, I can't.
Eretz Yisrael, stayed on a physical form, and therefore, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't enter, because it was beneath his level. Wasn't it?
Zeresh in his Abel,
that's why Eldov and Medov gave the Nebuah, Moshe is going to die. He's not going to enter Eretz. We gave it now. Because now, you brought it on. You guys have brought in now. By choosing me, you've rejected Moshe Rabbeinu. For choosing me, you've now made Eretz Yisrael Gashmius. And not Roy. And therefore, that's why they gave the Nebuah now.
So, how does Chiddush Shlishis help us to achieve our victory over Gog and Magog and over the Erev Rav, who don't want Chiddush Shlishis? Look at the continuation of the same Mishmur. Number 13. Hakipash of Gog and Magog. What is Gog and Magog?
To Pirkus of. Their mission in life is to get rid of any weakness, any obligations.
But people are those Nimshach and Mashu to Rovus are over Rav, Bain B'nai Yisrael, Pribitov.
And this has power to affect Chai Yisrael using the Erev Rav. Erev Rav also are connected to, I don't want to be obligated.
Bim Hodin Yisrael Vajrason, Shai Olam Atur Mitzvah.
If the Chai Yisrael will be on the High Madrika, then they would learn Torah Mitzvah in a fashion that they won't perceive Torah as a hindrance, a burden. So I got Erev in some fashion, if they would do that, then even Erev would be fixed up. There will be no burden in the position. It's not that. Now, this is beautiful. But because they asked for food of meat, of the Matikas of Torah, they lost their desire for the sweetness of Torah. And the Matikas of Torah became a burden. The Aesis are not in Shemokomita, and therefore got people to actually come from the Erevah. So next, Shabbos, Matzila, Melchomus, Gog and Magog. Shabbos protects us from Gog and Magog, so the Shlishis does. His Shabbos, who Ava, Rotten, Pli'ol. Shabbos is showing the love to Hashem in a desirable way, in an enjoyable way, and you don't feel burdens. May the Eimah Kippah Shal Gog and Magog, let us have Kaiso. Kaiso cannot be affected by Gog and Magog or Erev Rav at all, if they have such a relationship with Hashem that everything is beautiful and not a burden upon him.
Im hayu kol yisrael shomer Shabbos yontif, hasbatmei kol kol. If they would keep the whole Shabbos yontif in its proper fashion,
no Gog and Magog, because Gog and Magog gets its power from us feeding it. How do we feed Gog and Magog? By saying Shabbos, Torah, mitzvahs are all too much a burden.
They're getting in the way. If you have such attitudes, that brings the Eruva, that brings Gog and Magog, that brings your enemies within, that brings your enemies without, and that brings you to darkness and not living. So to summarize this shir, it will take me just 2 minutes to summarize this shir, please. Okay. Here it goes like. The B'nai Yisrael were being challenged by Shem through the Erev Rav from within and without to see if they would focus their drives on Ruchnis or Gashmis, Pnimis or Chitzonis pleasures. If they would have been successful, then the Erev Rav themselves would have been uplifted or vanquished. Unfortunately, they did not rise to the challenge and their bodies remained in a physical state. This dictated that Erev Rav to have a physical side to it, in order to accommodate their lower level of B'nai Yisrael. This meant Moshe Rabbeinu, who was pure spiritual being, was on too high level to enter Yisrael, and necessitated a transition of leadership to Yeshua. Eldad and Meldad were great people, brothers of Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu straight from Hashem. They were charged in giving the warning signs to Klal Yisrael, change your ways! Miriam did not understand that warning, and nor did the rest of Klal Yisrael. The Nevuah was a message to refocus, and with it, a promise that we'd be saved from all sorrows of the going of Gog and Magog. If you just correct your view in life, you will be changed, and better off. Till this day, we have continued to suffer from the Erev, and Gog and Magog is now facing us, in our faces, right in front of us. If we take the message of Eldad and Meldad to heart, and use the mitzvah of Suda Shlishis properly, we could be saved from all of the above. The question challenging us, are we learning Torah to eat kugel? Are we eating kugel to eat learn Torah? That's the question. May we be zocher to see the fulfillment of the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, as explained by the Vilna Gaon. Ki hine hastav avos, the autumn has passed. Hageshem cholof, the winter rain has gone away. What's the Gorn saying is, the autumn is the Goyim, the Gog and Magog has disappeared. And the winter rain is Erevav, who are much worse than even the Goyim, and they have disappeared. Well, he would cease to be challenged by these people. And as the Gemara Shabbos says, the Pasha of Yehibir Torah should go back to its place that we don't need the tefillah anymore, and can put back the parsha where it belongs, not the Golem. And with the Zohar to the Binyan Beit HaMikdash, then Herav Yameinu, because Mamish and a good Shabbos.